Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's try again for a united good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Stay seated. This is just some welcome time as we gather ourselves. Good morning to you. It is wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to welcome you in this new year. For those who I haven't met yet, my name is Kristen Phillipson. I'm one of the ministers here at Rosedale United Church. And with me today are my colleague, Reverend Ruth Noble, and Norm Nermy, who's providing our music today, along with Jennifer Robinson. And we welcome you. We're so glad to see you. Rosedale United Church is a hub in our city, supporting human flourishing in this neighborhood and beyond. I just want to check the microphone. My microphone feels really loud. Yeah, Ben, it feels really echoey. Yeah, we'll work. This is the time to work that out. How's that? Is that getting a little better? Yeah, okay. Right on. Well, as I mentioned, Rosedale United Church is a hub supporting human flourishing, and one of the ways that we're committed to doing that in this new year of 2023 is making housing one of our main focuses for our social ministries council. Ruth and myself are signatories to a letter that's gone to the mayor urging for the opening of more warming centers here in the city. This campaign's led by Reverend Alexa Gilmore. She came and spoke to us in the fall. She'll be on Metro Morning tomorrow at 7:10. If you want to hear her on CBC and hear about this campaign, which your congregation, Rosedale United, is a part of, we will link on our website to a letter that you can use to email to our mayor to urge for the opening of more warming centers during this winter season. So look out for that. And we encourage you to go to our website to find out all kinds of stuff that we've got going on, and to check out your bulletin as well. Rimbala begins again this Wednesday. It's a wonderful program for balance. We encourage you to bring friends to that. Wednesday at 9 starts up again. And also to save on your calendars February 5th as a key Sunday to be here. We'll be joined by the Metropolitan Silver Band again, and they'll also be having a congregational lunch that day. Okay, I don't think there's anything else I'm forgetting. I think we've got that. I'm going to be taking kids out for Sunday school. A reminder, if you know, lots of you are grandparents, I know. You can, you know, maybe plan in 2023 a few key dates where you have your grandkids over for a sleepover, and then they come for Sunday school the next day. Maybe Feb 5th with the Met Silver Band is a good one, and then there's lunch afterwards. Just planting that seed for you. Alrighty. I think that's it from me, and I will invite you to stand now as we call ourselves to worship.
In voice, mind, and spirit, we hear God calling to the beloved. God's presence is among us. We receive God's love and affirmation. We cherish God's guidance and direction. We follow the path and example. As we gather and worship, we ask God to remind us of our connection and our covenantal relationship with God. We ask God to wash us in the baptized life for renewal and revitalization. Come, beloved, let us love one another as God loves us. And our opening hymn is Voices United 395. Come in and sit down. You are a part of the family. And we're going to be doing the chorus, and then verse 1 and 2, then the chorus, then verse 3 and 4, and then the chorus.
Amen.
We are a part of the family, and let us now greet one another. The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you.
Peace be with you, Ruth.
And also with you.
Are you going to announce the learning blessing,
yeah.
Or do you want me to? You will?
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah. And now we invite our children to go out with Emma and with Kristen to Sunday school as we sing, I Am a Child of God. It's more voices. More voices, 157. And let us now center ourselves as we pray together. God of grace and glory, you call us with your voice of wind and flame to be your people, faithful and courageous. Guide us when we lose our way. Inspire us to see beyond what is in front of us. As your beloved Son embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us with the fire of your Spirit to join in the transforming work of following your way. We ask in the name of the one who calls us to see in new and different ways, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with these words that we will sing together. Well, we have entered a whole new year. And beloved, we are called to see in new ways. Take a look around. What do you see? What new vision are you being called to this year? And let us now sing together hymn number 348 in Voices United, O Love, How Deep, and we're doing verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7. Please be seated. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, bless us and disturb us as we celebrate all our gifts. Where conflict rains down on innocent people, where the Ukrainian people live in hope of peace, where dealers thrive on opiates while users writhe in pain, where COVID continues in many strains and people struggle to begin again, where the place of Jesus' birth is a place of conflict, where our streets are filled with the lost and the least, struggling to find warmth. Disturb us, O God, to be to your transforming love in unexpected ways. Disturb us to reach out. Disturb us to offer hope in the darkness. From the Miramar to the Ukraine, from Rosedale and High Park, to where a star is needed in the deepest dark, may we be the pinprick of light that shines across the vast horizon. Amen. You are invited now to light a candle, to place your offering in the wooden boxes at the back of the church. As Norm plays, let us use our time to respond an offering. We offer the works of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gift of God as a blessing for the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. That's beautiful. We are truly blessed here, Rosedale, to have such amazing music. Now you have to listen to me, but oh well. Can't have everything. Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our Redeemer. Amen. In the first century, boys who showed promise when it came to reading and understanding the Hebrew scriptures were then called to be apprentices to a rabbi. These apprentices would literally follow behind the rabbi and would be washed in the dust of the rabbi. These apprentices were chosen because they were the best of the best. And those who were not the best of the best would be the fishermen or the laborers of the community. So it's interesting to think that these are the people that Jesus called to follow him. Not the best of the best, but the others who would be deemed ordinary by society. But in Jesus' eye, they were chosen for a specific task of following the way of Jesus. The very physical nature of discipleship in the first century is that students literally followed behind their rabbi. Your whole job was to watch and listen and make connections so that you could start to do the same things they do. And that's what it's meant to be a first century, to be a disciple. Disciples learn by mimicking their teacher, but not Jesus' disciples. Jesus doesn't teach by our disciples mimicking him. And that's what's reflected in this passage. Jesus wants to be baptized by John, even though Jesus should be leading by example and baptizing John. And that's basically what John is saying. No, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. But Jesus is sharing that we are called to serve each other. It's an image of collaboration, not the hierarchical structure that a lead rabbi and a junior teacher would be part of and what they would be used to in the first century. But Jesus wants to turn things around, to change the perspective, so to speak. Jesus took that structure and taught that rabbis must also serve rather than just being served. In the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I've seen probably 55, I could quote it for you. I could quote the entire movie if you wanted. I could do all the songs, everything, but I won't. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. The premise of the movie is that Ferris Bueller is in the final year of high school, and he and his friends take a day off from school. Because as Ferris says, if you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss life, because life moves pretty fast. If we don't turn around, we are literally in the wrong orientation to God. Many of us can actually get a sense of what this looks like. Because if we all turned around, so I want you to turn around. I mean, I can turn around, but there's nobody there. You have a person behind you. Some of us have to look in a different direction. And when you look behind you, you have the opportunity to see the face of God in a literal neighbor. I have to look this way in order to do that. But the point is that, like exits in movie theaters and planes, sometimes the divine is behind you, or beside you, or on this side. And it's we who have to notice that. We are in relationship with each other. We serve each other. And in the instance of this scripture, Jesus is illustrating that we baptize each other. Drew Downs is a blogger and minister, Methodist minister, who I read his blog daily. And he shared this thought with us today. And so this gospel and the gospel passage right before it at the beginning of chapter 3 highlight what is underserved by our response to the tension of the following the rules. Because we all know what it's like to follow the letter of the law and not at all its spirit. Or when the letter of the law leads us to necessarily violate the law's spirit. We have a rabbi who is leading us to see baptism as a transformative act, one which puts us in proper orientation to God, greater relationship with God, and in better position to see and hear what God is sharing with us. And its byproduct is intimacy and relationship and participation in a beloved community. And so it is the thing which puts us into relationship with God, to be in relationship with one another. We consider baptism to be one of the sacraments, which we describe as an outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace given by Christ as sure and certain means by which we receive that grace. Baptism, the word, is about belonging. Belonging to this community of faith, belonging to each other. This passage ends with these words: "This is my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We can know that about each other. We can say that to each other. And maybe we can even believe that about ourselves. The word beloved is a sacred word that appears in the Bible 42 times. It's a word of endearment. It's a word of love. Jordan Felix is a Christian writer who wrote the song called Beloved for his daughter when she was just being born. And he wrote it because he wanted to share something with her so that she knew no matter what happened, no matter what mistakes she made in life, she would be beloved. And here are these words from the lyrics. "Don't be afraid. Don't let hope fade. Keep your eyes fixed on the light above. You are beloved. In the heartbreak and in your mistakes, nothing can separate you from love. You are beloved. You are beloved. You are seen. You are heard. You are loved." There's a television show called The Other Side, which is on APTN, the Aboriginal Television Network. It's an Indigenous ghost hunter show. But what makes this show unique is the connections that the investigators make. They're not just there to document sightings of paranormal sightings. They're there to communicate. They're there to help stuck spirits move on. And they're there to lift up the stories of those who have no voice. The show has been on for about 10 years now, and over that time, they have gone to many places right across Canada. And I remember one, and it really stands out for me, when we talk about the unmarked graves at the residential schools. They went to a former residential school site in southern Ontario. It was a Mohawk school. And when they were there, this child, this little girl, was leading them down a path. And there they found her grave. This grave had been unknown before they were there. Nobody knew it was there, but they found it. This past week, they went to Slave Lake, Alberta, to the unmarked graves of those who died in the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. While doing their investigations, the team connected a woman with her family that had been fractured, offering healing through connection with her uncle who had passed away a few years ago. As the team sat around a campfire in the field of unmarked graves at the end of their time in the community, you could feel what the team was feeling. They spoke about feelings of healing and pride. Pride that they were able to share the stories of those who had gone before them. Pride of being able to share the voices that had been silenced. Now, you may not think that we can communicate with those who have passed on, and you may think that there's nothing real about these shows, and that's okay. Because for me, what's important about shows like this, and especially this one, The Other Side, is the storytelling. Those who pass on come to life again in story. Jesus, the disciples, and John the Baptist lived thousands of years ago. And yet, every time we tell scripture stories, they live again. And we can relive their ministries. We are beloved in story. We are beloved again when we are remembered. When the team was at the Slave Lake site of the unmarked graves, I couldn't help but think about all the unmarked graves of the former residential schools. That every time graves are found, those children live again. And that even though we will never know their names, by remembering, these children become beloved again. To be beloved comes from the Creator, from God. In today's scripture, we hear the words, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And so, beloved friends, let us live on in story. Let us love one another in transforming faith that calls us to look all around us to see the face of Christ in everyone we meet. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 686 in Voices United, God of Grace and God of Glory.
beloved, go into the world to share the story. Remember that you may be the only gospel your neighbor reads this week. So write the vision and make it plain. Go into the world to be transformed, and may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet, and may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. Amen.